maybe, I don't know, but you know, and they're walking the beach, you know, and you see these advertisements and all this sort of thing, and boy, the world makes it look pretty, but the Bible says it's the evil days. It's the evil days. When the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. As my wife said, you know, that can be a really depressing sermon. And I realized that the Bible's real, you know, it's true. And, you know, the world says it's going to get better and better and better, and it's going to be wonderful. That's not what the Bible says. And there's going to come days, I mean, you know, if you live, you know, get up there 70, whatever, then generally speaking, it's going to get rough. I mean, your body doesn't work. It begins to give out, and things don't work like they used to, and you got aches and pains and on and on and on. But, you know, that is what this is about. But I'm going to apply it a little bit different. And I heard a preacher one time preach on the virtuous woman, and he applied it to the body of Christ and how, as Christians, there's certain things that would apply, and that was pretty good. You know, doctrinally, I don't know about all that, but it was made good practical preaching. And, you know, the church age, the body of Christ, is now almost 2,000 years old. And I'm going to apply this tonight as an aged body of Christ. Now, I know the body of Christ is going to live forever. Amen? We're going to be married to Jesus Christ. I understand all that. I mean, spiritually, you know, we're renewed day by day. I understand all that. But nevertheless, as an age and as a body, we're at the end. You know, sometimes these guys get going and they almost get mad when I throw water on their thing to say, we got to get back, we got to get back, you know, we got to get back. We're not going to get back. Now, individually, yes. As a church, yes. As a nation, as the world, no. Ain't going to happen. You know what we're going to do? We're going to go on. Time's going to keep moving, and we're going to go on to the rapture, and we're out of here. So we're going to get back to the old time ways. No, you're not. No, you're not. Ain't going to happen. So, oh, man, you don't believe revival can happen. I believe it could. I just don't think it's very likely. Now, it can happen in the church, and it can happen in your life, and as I go through these things, you don't have to be this way. Alright? We may be in Laodicea, but you don't have to be Laodicean. Amen. Amen. And amen. But nevertheless, I want to liken this stuff to the body of Christ that is now aged. Aged. Oh, it had its heyday. Oh, it had its heyday in the 1600s, 1700s. Oh, there's a heyday. Man, that's the mature body. And man, it's going, it's working. Man, it's just tearing it up. But that was then. And we're in the aged. We're in the end now. And the body of Christ is practically speaking, it's aged. It's aged. And there's going to be some application here that I want to bring out. But, you know, they try to make, you know, the old age, you know, sound all wonderful and all that sort of thing. But when you read your Bible, it's just not that way. Like one lady said, see, you know, this growing old isn't for wimps. You know, I mean, you know, the aches and pains and all that sort of thing. And it just gets hard. I remember talking to Arne Abrahamson. He is running. He's a PBI grad, but he's running actually, he's the chaplain of a very large, well, I don't know what you call it, a retirement center, nursing assisted living home in Brooklyn, New York. And a big thing, it's a Norwegian home. He's Norwegian. But anyway, he's there, and he told me one day, he said, people get to the end of their life, and they have a little room and a restroom. And he said, that's it. They got four walls, and they'll have just everything they own will be just this little bit of stuff, mementos from their life. And he said the other day, there was a man that had cancer up in years, and he'd been operated on and was recuperating and was in a wheelchair and had been there for a little while, and then he went in for tests and the cancer came back. And he tied a I think it was a towel or a tie, I forget which, but tied it around his neck. He's in a wheelchair. Tied it to the doorknob, and then just pushed himself out and hung himself in the bedroom. And he said, I get that stuff goes on pretty often. Oh, but it's the golden years. No, it's not that way. It's not that way. But the body grows old. You know, it grows old. It's just that way. And in this portion of the Bible, there's a characteristics given to an aged body that I'm going to apply to Christianity and the age in which we're in. And it says there, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Wait a minute, I thought the sunshine returned after the rain. You know what I mean? I mean, usually that's what it is. I mean, it comes and rains, clouds go away, and the sun shines, and it's wonderful. I guess for some people it's not. Clouds come back. Everybody else rejoicing. I guess they're not. But the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the keepers of the house, that's the hands. And you get up in years, you know, they start to shake and that. What's the keepers of the house? Well, and this is all just kind of freely applied, but I liken that to the preachers, Now, as I go over this, I want you to understand something. I'm talking about Christianity. I'm not talking about just the Bible believers, all right? I'm talking about Christianity. Now, I'm talking about really the born again. I'm not talking about those that call themselves Christian. I'm not saying that. But I'm talking about everybody that's born again in this age. All right? I mean, Bible believers are one sect, you know, one group, the biblical group, if you want to call it that. But I just want you to, as I go through this, think about Christianity and all the saved. Because that encompasses pretty big, broad spectrum, if you know what I mean. And it says there in the day when the keepers of the house should tremble, the preachers, you think about, at one time, a young man, or when you're, if you're up in years tonight or whatever, but there came up a time in your life where your hands, you could grasp. I mean, you could grab, you could hold. They were steady, they were firm, and there was a strength there. You get old and not sure. Doesn't have the strength. Not sure. You think about the preachers this day. They're just, they don't have a grasp. They're afraid. Well, I don't know if I should say that, or I don't know if I should preach that, or I just don't know. I mean, the average preacher is just a politician. You say, well, I just don't know. I just know. Man, God give us some preachers that'll grasp some things and have some strength to hold on right. I'll tell you, I don't know if I should say the word. Sodomite? Did I say that? Oh, no. I mean, it's just bad, you know that? I mean, it used to be, a couple hundred years ago, where preachers, man, they had a grasp of things. They had a grasp of eternity. They had a grasp of eternal security. They had a grasp of the Word of God. They had a grasp of what's right and what's wrong. But the preachers nowadays don't. They're just trembling, just shaking. So, I just don't know. Why? The body's getting aged. Getting aged, that's what it is. Thank God, and I'm not just saying this, to butter him up. Thank God we got a preacher that's got a grasp of some things. That is not the norm in this age. Not with Rick Warrens and all the junk that's going on. But it says there, keepers of the house tremble. Those hands, they're unstable. They don't grasp. They're unstable. You know what I'll say? Oh, they're cold. Hands get cold. It's just a job. It's not a calling. It's not a ministry. It's just a job. They're just out for themselves. They're not warm. It's getting cold. Why? Body's getting old. getting old, getting aged. That's what's going on. It says there, in the day the keeper of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. And I got thinking about that thing. Of course, you get up in years, and I was thinking, would that be, you know, bent over like this? But it's plural, it's men. And I liken that to the legs. That which holds it up. What is that? The body of Christ. Well, it holds it up. And again, this is practical, but I talk about churches. You know, the pillars, the churches. And there was a time when the churches, when they all used the same Bible, could have a citywide revival, could have a great awakening. The churches, man, they'd begin to march, they'd fight, and the government trembled. And they would guide the government, they'd guide the nation, they'd guide the world. Not anymore. Boy, they'd stand on Scripture. Martin Luther, here I stand, I can do no other. Then they'd stand there. They didn't need crutches. They didn't need a wheelchair. They didn't need props. They stood on Scripture. They stood with God. They stood. They proclaimed the truth. They didn't care what anybody else thought. Not that way anymore. No, the church is doing, getting all kinds of props to hold them up. You say, what do you mean? All music. You know. I mean, you know, but the music, you know, and you know, and the movies, and the, you know, the program is more of a theater than it is preaching, you know. Let's entertain them, you know, let's get up there and dance for them and all that sort of thing, and on and on and on. What's wrong? They're crippled. And they're trying to use artificial supports, because they don't know how to stand on Scripture, because they don't even know where the words of God are. And they're collapsing. They're going down. So let's prop them up. We got to get them in. Well, we don't want the doors to close. A lot of churches would be better if the doors did close. Amen. Amen. And amen. But you take, it says there, strong men shall bow themselves. I mean, Rick Warren now's got the Daniel diet. You know, it's just, he's using Muhammad Oz and this other guy, amen. So he's got three guys that are into New Age medicine. They're MDs. They're MDs. But they're all, Muhammad Oz, his wife, is a Reiki master. And all that junk. And he's bringing all this stuff in. Just, they're not ministering to the spirit anymore. They got to deal with their body. They just, what is it? Well, I need a crutch. I just can't make it without a crutch. That's what it is. See, why? Well, because the body's aged. It's at the end. It's old, aged. It says there, and the strong men should bow themselves, and the grinders cease, because they are few. What's that? Well, there's just not a lot of people grinding up. You know, grinders, that's your teeth. You know? And teeth begin to fall out. Get older, you know? Start falling out. Now, thank God, in this age, you know, there's, you know, dentures and implants and all that sort of thing. But, you know, in this time, that wasn't there. You start losing teeth, and it's bad if you lose teeth and then they don't meet. You know what I mean? I mean, you chew down and no teeth meet. And if you got one or two that meet, that's where you do all your chewing. You know? Those teeth get overworked. You know, it's like, and you do it very delicately because you don't want to lose them. You know, I mean, man, if you can't chew it up, what are you going to eat? I mean, what, are you going to have someone else chew it up for you? You know? Oh, that's bad. No, you know, you gum it, you can't gum steak. You know, how are you going to eat steak? You're going to have oatmeal, you know. And, you know, it's just something you can just, you know, but the grinders cease because they're few, but there's not a lot of people nowadays that'll take the Word of God and chew it up and digest it. Not a lot of Bible nowadays. And again, I am not trying to, what, patronize, they say, or whatever, but I just hope you know how rare what you got today is. That he would go, and you said it one time, I got to get it right, sheep remunerate, is that it? Where they burp it up? Ruminate. I knew I was saying it wrong. Ruminate. Ruminate. Yeah. That's when they burp it up, you know, they eat it and then and chew on it. There's not a lot of people doing that nowadays, man. They burp it up, they don't have no teeth to chew it. You know? But I mean, you know, it's just, I mean, there's not a lot of Bible going on today. I mean, thank God we're Bible believers, we're dispensational. Thank God for Dr. Ruckman. Thank God for those that are chewing on the Word of God. But that's rare. It's all, you know, and I know you know this. But psychological lessons and values clarification and all that junk, you know, and relationships. You know why it's all this relationship stuff? Because it's all motivated by women. You know that? I mean, women are always concerned about the relationship. Guys aren't. Guys are concerned about conquering the next battle, you know. That's how guys are, you know. But it's all this effeminate stuff. And it's just, they're so busy with that, they don't know how to chew up the Word of God and give it out. Amen, amen, amen. And I say, why? Well, it's just you're at the last days. See, what do you got? Oh, you got Christian romances. They'll turn away their ears from the truth, be turned into fables. You don't know how tempting it is. As somebody, and but there's this, just write a fable, and you'll make a lot of money. I mean, I'm like, Lord, God, help me. I mean, because I have an imagination, man. I could just go off somewhere and just get it and write something. I don't know. Maybe it'd be a dud, you know. But boy, that temptation's there. Because they like that stuff, man. I mean, they just like it. I mean, there's just Christian romances and fables all over the place. People getting doctrine from it, too. Left behind, you know, and all that stuff. It's just, it's bad. It's why? They're not grinding up the Word of God. Grinders cease because they're few. And he says there, grinders cease because they're few, and those that look out of the windows be darkened. Of course, that's your eyes. And, you know, of course, and in these days, you know, you have cataracts and things like that. You can't see. Vision, of course, they got operations now and that sort of thing, but nevertheless, the vision is not real good. Not real good. They don't see the lost as lost. They don't see spiritual things. They don't see eternity. They can't see spiritually anymore. Why? They're going blind. Aged body. Aged body of Christ. They don't see the nations. They don't see the mission field. I'm talking about the body of Christ as a whole. The mission field, the people going are less and less and less. And those that eventually make it, the failure rate going up like that. I made it to the field, and I did a stint, and now I'm back here, and I'm not going back. If I do, my wife will leave me, or, you know, I don't know. I wasn't able to keep my 401k, and I just didn't know how I was going to do the insurance, and, you know, and on and on. Well, I just, you know, I went, but it's just not convenient now. And not seeing. They can't. See eternity, can't see the lost, can't see it like it used to be. Not that way. I remember hearing a story of I think it was a Moravian, I'm not sure. But these missionaries climbed on a ship, it was an old sailing ship, it was at the dock. And mom and dad and family had come down and realized it was the last time they were going to see him this side of heaven. Those young men got on that ship. Mama's crying. Relatives there, and the ship pulls out and starts to head on out. They got just maybe a football field away. And one of those young missionaries turned back, lifted up his voice, said, "May the Lamb be glorified." Went to the mission field. What did he have? He had a vision. The body of Christ today doesn't have vision anymore. It's going down. It's going down. It says there, those that look out of windows be darkened, and the doors should be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Hearing begins to go. And that's a, you young people, look what you got to look forward to. Everything just starts shutting down, man. I'll tell you what's a blessing is when you can just commune with God through it all. Realize inwardly you're renewed day by day. I'll tell you, thank God. But you know that the hearing goes. I remember when my voice was gone and I went up to Alma and I was doing the therapy up there and I'd be down on the low notes, you know. And at the start, I couldn't hit any low notes. My scale was about 8 notes. That's all I could do. Little by little, it got better. And I'd be down low and she'd go, louder. That's all I could do, you know. I said, louder. I said, well, I'm doing it. But she was 85. She's 87 years old by the time I hit those low notes. And she had a hard time hearing them. Couldn't hear it. Couldn't hear the sound. And you take the body today, it has a hard time hearing the cry of the lost. Has a hard time hearing the needs of people. Has a hard time hearing the voice of God. When's the last time God spoke to you? I'm not talking about a charismatic sound. When's the last time God dealt with you and I want you to do this or I want you to do that? When's the last time you discerned God dealt with you and said, I'd like you to do this for me? Have you heard the voice of God lately? Or are you going deaf? Amen. Amen. I mean, the more and more Christians, they're so distracted with the things of the world and bills and just on and on. And I know to a certain extent that it's the nature of the life we're in. But man, don't get so busy that you're not conscious of God and God working in your life. Man, the body of Christ in this age, it can't hear it. It's not like it used to be. Body's getting old. Aged, about ready to be taken out. It says there, when the sound of the grinding is low, and he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. And you take, when you get old, you have a hard time sleeping. You have a hard time. It's just the nights, sometime you'll be up just awake, and you just have a hard time. I was up with a preacher recently. He's, he's still doing a good job. He's doing a real good job, but he's getting up in years. And he said, yeah, I sleep in shifts. He said, I go down for 3 and I'm up for 2 and down for 3. He said, I do a double shift each night. And, you have a hard time sleeping. You know, you rise up the voice of the bird and these little things, you know. We were in one church and a lady came in. She'd had like 12 kids. And, they were all grown. They were gone, you know, good lady. She and her husband. And she came in. She just looked haggard, worn out, just tired. I go, sister, how you doing? She said, I'm exhausted. I said, why? She said, I couldn't sleep last night. She said, man, at least when I had kids, I had a good reason to be awake. have a hard time resting. And the average Christian today, they don't know how to rest in the Lord. That when you think of Christianity, how much of Christianity really has got a grasp of eternal security? There's not very many. How to rest in the Lord and have the Lord get you through and on and on and on. Man, we were in a, it was a few years ago. Where am I? Who am I? But anyway, we're in a church recently. A few years ago, but it's when the stock market was going down, and this pastor's wife comes in, and she's like, "What's wrong?" She said, "Well, our stocks have lost 25% today." She said, "I don't know what we're gonna do." I thought that was the funniest thing. I said, "Oh man, that's pitiful." That's pitiful, man. Got all the security in their stocks and their insurance. And I'm not against that stuff. If God allows you to have it, praise God. I'm not against it. But I'll tell you, Lord knows, if I had that stuff, I wouldn't be very spiritual. I'd backslide, man, so I don't have it. You know? That's the only reason I can figure, you know, but you take that stuff. I mean, people don't know how to just rest in God. I mean, what did the Christians do for 1900 years? And there was no Obama. There was no safety nets, you know? How did they ever get through it all? Well, they did a lot better than we do. That's why the old hymns sing about the Lord of Harvest and the sunshine and the rain and all that. Why? They were leaning on God. But body's aged now. Doesn't know how to rest. Doesn't know how to just rest in God, to trust Him. Didn't know that stuff. Rise up, the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of music should be brought low. Also, when they should be afraid of that which is high. Take old people, they're not going to climb a tree. I could still climb a tree. But I'd be a lot slower, and I'd make sure the limbs were bigger. You know, I can do it. I get up there, I can run a chainsaw, I can do all that stuff. But, you know, in a few years, I probably would rather not. And a few years after that, I'd be like, no, I'm not going to do that. And these people, you know, and say, well, I'm not talking about climbing, but stairs. Old people don't like stairs. They don't want to go up high. They don't like ladders. They don't like that. Why? Because they don't want to fall and break a hip. They don't want to fall and get hurt. They're afraid of that which is high. My mom had a house up in the mountains there in California. And she was on a ladder washing windows. And she told me that she had got news that one of her friends had, I don't know, tripped on some steps or fallen off a ladder or something like that and broke a hip and just messed them all up. You know what she did? She sold the house. She said, you know what? And she got down off that ladder. She put the house up for sale. It sold. She bought another house that's completely flat. When you get out of the car, you just walk right into the house. I mean, everything's just flat. Why? Afraid of that which is high. And you know what? In this age, you know what the body of Christ is afraid of? Of taking the high road. Of doing something for God, of just not having the protections, not having the everything around, just saying, God, I want to go higher, I want higher ground. God, help me to go to the high road. Body of Christ, they play it safe. I'm saved. I'm saved. A lot of preachers' kids do this stuff. They just say, well, I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven, so I'll just get the best of both worlds, you know, and then I'll just make a lot of money, and I'll get a nice house, and then once I can do all that, then I can help people out in the ministry and try and play the best of both worlds, and they don't want to go for the high road. How about you? Will you go for the high road? You say, like what? Would you be a missionary? Anybody here tonight? Surrender? So I'll go to the mission field. So like, where? Oh, how about Africa? You know, some maybe New Guinea. He said, well, I know there's missionaries that have gone. Yeah, but how about you? Maybe there's something the Lord wants you to do. Maybe there's just something that God's dealing with you about. You say, well, I'm too old. Hey, I'm not done yet. There are missionaries that went. And they were old. And they still went. Are you afraid of that which is high? God dealing with you about something? Say, I could never do that. No, you can't do anything without Jesus Christ. Was there something that God wants you to do and you're going to have to step out and you're not going to have any safeguards or whatever? It's a high road. Will you step? Will you go? Will you leave it all, or are you just going to play it safe? I'll just coast into heaven. Everything's all right. The aged body of Christ is afraid to go for the high road, afraid to step out, afraid to go, to climb out. I want to play it safe. How about you? There also, when they should be afraid of that which is high, and fears should be in the way. And that has to do with that resting. You know, what about this? And I don't know about this. And what's going to happen here? Man, you better rest in God. You better rest in the Lord. Say, well, I don't know what's going to happen. No, but God does. The Christians nowadays, man, that a lot of them are worse than the lost. You know, the lost, they're just going through, you know. It's all that junk, man. Trembling, you know. Every now and then, you know, I'll hold my wife's hand, and I'll just shake my hand. I'll say, that's what I'll feel like in 10 years. But where am I? Let's see here. Afraid of that which high, fear should be in the way. Man, God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and of sound mind. But the body of Christ today, man, they're afraid of what people think about them. What about this? And you don't want to make anybody mad. And all this on and on, just fears in the way. Man, I hope that's not you. Fear should be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish. That almond tree, if you look at them, a bunch of them in California, they're gray. That gray hair. That Bible says, now, of course, hoary head, that's white, which says the hoary head is a crown of glory. If it be found in the way of righteousness. You get up in years, you're going to be found in the way of righteousness. I hope so. And the grasshopper should be a burden. That's a difficult one. I'm not really sure about that. Other than a grasshopper be a burden, I know I could eat them. But either way, it got to bend over. And you know what old people don't want to do? They don't want to bend over. You know that? It's hard to bend over the older you get. It's just, you know, you bend over, you don't know if you're going to get back up. I mean, it's like, oh, no. You know, that's bad, man. You know, it's just, I haven't got there, but I can see it coming. It's like, oh, yeah, okay. But, I mean, you know, but that bending over, what's that? It's prayer. It's prayer. Not a lot of praying going on. Not like it used to. How's your prayer life? How much time you spent in prayer? Just get alone. Do you have a closet? Here you go. Get along with God. You have a prayer book, have a prayer journal. That's prayer life. This age, we're praying on the go. We eat on the go, and we pray on the go. Nothing wrong with praying while you're driving. Just keep your eyes open. You know? But there's something about getting alone with God. And sometimes it's a burden, and it shouldn't be. It should be like, man, God, I want to get with you. Help, Lord. You know, the desire should be there. But the body of Christ is aging. Prayer is not what it used to be. Grasshoppers should be a burden, and desire shall fail. And it gets to a point, you get up in years, and just don't have any desire. No desire. So you're like, for what? Anything. There's no desire to do anything. You don't want to go anywhere, you don't want to do anything, you don't want to talk, you don't want to do nothing. Why? You just have no desire to do it. Well, we were up at that meeting. Well, I'll just say, let me say a meeting recently. But there was a couple there, and oh, he's retired, and she's they're an older couple. They had some friends, and they're a good Christian couple, and they wanted to minister to this other couple. I don't know if they were saved or not, but they called them up and said, look, we'll take you out to eat. We'll go to a restaurant, take you out. And the lady said, no, he doesn't want to go. And they said, but he doesn't do anything. She said, you're right. He doesn't do anything. He just sits there and watches TV all day long. I try to get him to go anywhere. He doesn't want to do it. You know why? Desire shall fail. Just no desire. Just up in years and just don't want to do anything. It's getting to the point now with Christianity where Christians, the body of Christ, didn't want to do anything. They don't want to do anything for God as a whole. They just want to see how they can blend in with the world and be like the world and join hands with the world and on and on. They have no desire to fight. No desire to be different. No desire to please God and holiness. None of that. They've lost their desire. Why? Because it's the aged body at the end. And it won't be long before it's taken out. Preachers and churches and others, you know, as an evangelist, it's like, come on, you know, and you're preaching. And I realize I can't do anything. It's got to be God. You know, but it is a joy that hasn't happened a lot. And I've never really seen a real true revival, but I have gone in by the grace of God, and all the glory goes to Him, to some churches. And when you walked in, you just sensed they were down. And I don't mean in numbers. And when we left, they were up. That's a great privilege. They had some renewed desire. That's revival. That's what that is. How's your desire? You just kind of... You know, years ago, there was a missionary by the name of C.T. Studd. C.T. Studd got an inheritance, gave it all away. Gave it all away. Gave some to his wife, and she gave that portion away as well. C.T. Studd went to China with Hudson Taylor for a little bit, and then up in years. Now, we're talking, I don't know the exact, but I believe it was the upper 60s or early 70s of his life. You know, when most people are retiring, C.T. Studd had gallbladder trouble, and in those days, nothing they could do. He left his wife in England. He went to Africa. There was a tribe, there was a man that went with him. There was a tribe in Africa, the heart of Africa, that had eaten 35 missionaries. Had eaten them. C.T. Studd said, I want to go there. Now, obviously, the Lord dealt with his heart. Yeah. And they said, how are you going to get into the heart of Africa? And he said, we're going to ride bicycles. And the people thought he was absolutely nuts. He and his partner took bicycles. They got out. And they started riding into the heart of Africa when he's in his upper 60s or early 70s. Riding in, and the natives would come out, and the ladies would, they'd look out their grass huts, and they were scared, you know. And then when they saw the kids running with them, they came out and they were laughing. They just thought it was the funniest thing, these white men riding bicycles. They'd never seen anything like that. It wasn't a road. It was just a trail. When it got to a hard spot, the Africans come out and say, could we carry it? They carried it for him over the hard spot. C.T. Studd went on in there, up in years, ministered for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if there is such a thing, but if I can ever get a picture of C.T. Studd on a bicycle, that's what I would like to have. I would like to be at the end of my life still getting it, still going. No assurance of the world, maybe, no safety nets or whatever, but just still going for God, having a desire to serve Him, to preach and to go on for Him. Not have that desire just kind of melt out and fade away. But I'll tell you, this Christianity of this age, desire is just gone. Because it's the aged body of Christ. You and I don't have to be that way. If that is the age we're in, let's pray. Father, I pray, God, that